Ryan on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Welcome to worship here at First Christian Church. We're so glad that you all are here today on this beautiful day here inside of our sanctuary. We welcome our friends who are joining us online, who are joining us on Facebook Live and are greeting each other and joining in the conversation there. We welcome our friends who have found us through our church website. It is good to be together if we're here on this day when it is now a balmy like 2 below in Iowa, in Burlington, Iowa, and our friends who are hopefully in maybe some much more warmer places online. It is good to be together as a family of faith, both virtually and in person this morning. We hope and we pray that this time that we set aside for worship will fill us and bless us and renew us in our own walk with Christ and our own journey of faith. As we have gathered for worship today, if this is your first time with us for worship online, we welcome you. And a little word about our worship service. We gather around the communion table every single time that we get together for worship. And so we hope that you'll have ready there at your house the elements of communion that you will need. And so if it's bread and juice and coffee and crackers and grapes, whatever it is good enough as we celebrate communion together virtually as a family of faith. For our friends inside of our sanctuary, we hope that you picked up one of our all-in-one communion kits on your way in. We'll need those as well for later on in our worship service. Inside of our sanctuary, you'll note that on our bulletin on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet. We hope that you will fill it out and let us know that you were here. It helps us with contact tracing should that need arise. But you can also let us know if there are prayer concerns if you have in your life, if there are praises as well. You can jot those down. If you did not bring a pen, you'll find clean ones located outside the sanctuary over on the right-hand side of the Welcome Center. After you fill it out, you can drop it in one of the offering plates that are on either side of the Welcome Center outside of our narthex. Another note about worship inside of our sanctuary, for those of us here, we're invited to join in our songs. That there aren't too many of us here today, and so we can make a joyful noise, but do so by keeping our singing voices low and to ourselves, so that while we share fellowship here in this space and share the love of Christ together, we'll do our best to keep our aerosol droplets to ourselves. And so we can make a joyful noise here inside of the sanctuary quietly. Of course, with it being -2 outside, there's no drive-in worship today. But next Sunday, it's going to be a heat wave. It's going to be 34 degrees next Sunday, Sunday about noon. And so it's going to feel so hot after having coming through so much cold. And so we'll look forward to drive-in worship resuming next Sunday morning. And so we'll look forward to that whenever we get there. Looking into this week, we're going to have a couple of Ash Wednesday services on Wednesday here at the church, one at 12:15 and one at 7 p.m. 7 o'clock service will be streamed on our church website, and so if you're joining us online, we hope that you'll join us for Ash Wednesday service. The short little about half-hour-long service, and so it should be a good time as we enter into the season of Lent together. As the COVID-19 numbers have gone down and thankfully are remaining down, there's lots of new classes and groups that are getting together. Youth groups meets on Sunday nights and pastor's classes starting next Sunday afternoon. We're having a new class that Sam Helmick is going to teach, a little Lenten study. It's going to meet on Zoom. That begins February 25th. And our church handbell choir is going to resume practicing. They're going to be socially distant, rehearsing in our church fellowship hall. And so if you ever wanted to play handbells, now is the time to kind of say that you'd like to be a part of that as they look forward to getting together again after almost a year-long break. It is good to be together, and so we give thanks and praise to God for this great time of worship together. We invite you to stand and wave to the folks and say hello to the folks around you. Make sure that you wave to the cameras and say hi to the folks who are worshiping online with us.
Of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond the galaxy. You are holy. suffered and endured. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. And as I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. Wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth.
Just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. Oh, none can even fathom, could not one define your worth, as we marvel in your presence.
we gather in God's presence, one of the most special times is for us to pray together. Because we know that each of us may have worries, have concerns, have family and friends that we're praying for, but we join our voices together and we lift them up to God all together. So let us go to God in prayer. Holiest God, you are a God of transformation, and you have given us a vision of your glory in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hear us today as we bring to you our own lives to be transformed by you through your redeeming presence in the midst of this community. In a world which can so easily become dull to the wonder of your glory, we pray that we would be made salt and light, awakening all of those who come near to us with your Spirit, which dwells within us. Open us to the needs of those who pass our way. Help us to serve you by serving them in the spirit of your Son, who showed us the way to life in its fullness. Give us grace to honor his name in the life which we build together here. To those who hunger, make us to share our bread. To those who lack a home, make us to share a shelter. For those who are lost and lonely, make us to bring the peace and joy of Christ to them. May we bring hope and a future to those whose lives are growing dim. We lift up those today most in need of your loving care. We pray that you would ease the burdens of those who hurt, heal the pain that so often lives inside of us, heal the bodies of those in need of healing, and assure those in need that you are with them always. We pray for those we know going through medical hardships or illnesses. Give them strength to push through and peace in their hearts. We pray for those with broken family relationships. We pray that you could help to mend past hurts and bring together families in loving unity. We pray for the lonely. Give them your love and presence in a very real way. We give you thanks for the continued good news about our pandemic numbers. We celebrate fewer illnesses, fewer deaths, and more vaccines being given. We give thanks for and celebrate the hope that we feel as vaccines become more and more available. We pray that with these advancements, we could be together more and more. We pray that our church could gradually fill more and more until all can safely worship together. But for now, we worship you from near and far, giving thanks for the blessing of technology that can keep us connected. Lead us, Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way clear before us. We give you thanks for the many blessings in our lives, but first and foremost, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son. We pray together in his name, and we lift the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning we open God's word to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, Let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My early growing up years were back in the 1980s, and so back in those days, baseball games were only on TV about once a week if we were lucky. And so following our favorite team meant listening to the game on the radio and reading the box score in the next morning's newspaper. Back in the day, kids were going to middle school dances that didn't consist much of dancing, but mostly kind of standing around in clumps around the outside of the middle school gym, kind of standing and kind of staring awkwardly at each other. But the music that was playing back in the day was Michael Jackson and Tiffany and Duran Duran. We spent a lot of our days playing ball in the street, even late into the night after the sun had gone down, playing there under the streetlight. Riding our bikes all over the neighborhood, going into our friend's house, eating their snacks, watching TV all together. And back in the day, whenever we weren't outside, we were inside playing video games. In our house, we had the very first edition of the game system called Atari. This old school game system that had one joystick and one only, one button on this black joystick with no pause button. And so once you started playing, you had to keep on going until you died. There was no stepping away or putting it on pause. In our house, we had a later edition of the first Nintendo with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and Donkey Kong, and it was great. These were fantastic games. And one of these games that my brother and I used to play at our friend's house across the street was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. This classic video game of going mano to mano, this great game of starting out as a small, short in stature, small in ability, early on boxer, doing our best to win each round, trying to make it up to the top, winning each bout along the way, battling Glass Joe and Von Kaiser and King Hippo, making it till the end, hopefully until we could battle Mike Tyson for the crown. We spent lots of times playing this old video game with our friends in the late 1980s. I was thinking about this game, not that I'm a big proponent of boxing these days or that I've even played this game recently, but I was thinking about this game because very often when you are starting out in this game, you get knocked down easily. When you're going up against an opponent who is bigger and stronger and faster and had a quicker jab, you are this little tiny boxer who would often always get knocked down there on the mat. It was almost like a David versus Goliath kind of scene with Goliath winning every single time. And whenever you were knocked down, there at the bottom of the screen would appear the words, "Get up, get up, get up." And so in order to get up in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on the old school Nintendo, you had to press the A and B buttons as fast as you could, as many times as you could. And whenever you got knocked down, your friends who were always sitting around you would be yelling, "Come on, come on, faster." There'd be tons of yelling around your basement TV console as you tried to hit those buttons to get back in the game as quickly as possible. I was thinking about playing this game that I haven't played in years because this past week when Pastor Brooke and I were talking about this passage from 2 Corinthians in Bible study, that old video game came to mind. What Paul is saying here in this passage reminded me of it. You see, the interesting thing about the Apostle Paul is that if you read his writings in the back half of the New Testament, he loved to tell his own story. He loved to use his own life of an example of what it meant like to get knocked down and then get back up again. He often said that if you need an example of someone to look to for living the Christian life, look at me, he said. For better or for worse, he said, look to me. And so throughout his writings, he would talk about how he used to be a Pharisee. He used to persecute Christians, persecute the church, try to snuff them out. He even said in one place that if you lined up all the people who kept the law so strictly, he would be at the front of the line, one of the most strict keepers of the law. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus or any of Jesus' followers. He wanted to do the exact opposite of what they were doing. He was even present the book of Acts says, when the first apostle Stephen was stoned and beaten. But then he always said, he was walking down the road to Damascus one day and he saw this bright shining light in the sky. And he had this overwhelming experience of Jesus Christ talking to him, calling him by name, imploring him to change his ways. And from that moment, his whole life was changed, completely flipped on its head, completely turned around. He said it was like scales began to fall from his eyes and he saw the world in a whole different way, in a brand new way. Once his life was changed, can't you just imagine what it was like when Paul went to church the very first time? I mean, imagine what it was like. I mean, like the countdown had started. The announcements had begun, the band started playing, and it's like he slipped in the back door and he sat in the far back pew. In that moment, I could just imagine the preacher and the elders and the band being like, who is this guy walking into church? Didn't he used to put Christians in jail and now he's here proclaiming that he is now a Christian? I mean, I can imagine them like having like bodyguards on him the whole time, wondering what in the world he's going to do now that he was inside the church. But Paul said his whole life was changed. But he said in his writings that once he came to Christ, life didn't get any easier. In fact, he said it became more challenging. Now, instead of conforming to the ways of the world, he had to conform to God's ways and the life of Christ. Now, because of his faith, his circle of those who are included in God's love has been drawn much wider. Now, because of his faith, he was called to reach out to those on the margins. Now, because of his faith, because of God's grace in his life giving him faith, someone like him who used to persecute the church was now welcomed in with open arms. Christ totally changed his life, and now he found him on the end of one being persecuted. He'd gone through hard times. Ended up in prison, he even said. Life was tough being a Christian. I mean, we heard that in the passage this morning. He said there in verse 11 that there were times in his life where it felt like he was being given over to death. There were times where he said it felt like he was being beaten down, like he had this living, this fragile clay jar kind of life that was being shattered into pieces. I mean, we know, of course, how fragile and how short and how precious life is. We know what this is like because we've seen our loved ones get sick with COVID. We've seen people in our church family be as sick as can be in the ICU in the hospital. We have seen ones beyond these walls pass away in this time. We've seen doctors and nurses and hospital staff in our church family put their own health on the line to care for those in need. In these past 11 months, nearly one full year in these pandemic months, we've learned what it's like to balance family and friends and COVID and how much risk we're willing to take. I mean, we've learned what it means to have faith and not be afraid while at the same time being cautious. It has felt in these past months like we're living in these jars of clay kind of life that Paul talked about. Almost like we're this little tiny boxer going up this beast of a person. Almost like we are David and Goliath all over again. We keep getting knocked down in these past few months. We know what Paul is talking about. We can lean into his story because we've lived it and we can recognize it and see it played out in our day. But didn't we hear what Paul said? Don't we love what he had to say? He said, we have this treasure in these clay jars so that it is clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. He says, we are afflicted in every single way, but not crushed. We are perplexed in this life, but never driven to despair. We are persecuted at times, but never forsaken, struck down, he said, but not destroyed. For we always carry in the body of ours the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies as well. We have this power, Paul is saying, to get up and keep on going in life, not because of anything that we've done on our own, but because of Christ and his grace moving through us. Because the power of God's presence living in us. What this means, what this promise is all about, is not that our troubles will pass away with time, or even that like they'll only appear to be troubles and not really be there, or that a way out is always found. What Paul is saying is that we realize that life is fragile and troubles may never fully disappear. But the power of God is there with us to bring us through. Paul teaches us that the Christian life is all about being resilient, about hitting the buttons A and B as fast as we can, as quick as we can, reminding us that God is there to bring us through our hard times. Because don't we remember our story of faith? That God has led his people through all kinds of trials. It wasn't just Paul in prison, but it was Jesus, persecuted, hung on the cross, laid in the tomb, only to find it empty on Easter. It was God's people in slavery back in the book of Exodus, only to find freedom in the promised land. It was that valley in the shadow of the darkness of death that Psalm 23 talked about, only to be led to green pastures. In fact, the whole entire story of God, the whole story that we are a part of, that we live into here and now, is one of resiliency. It is getting knocked down in life, but not staying there. Because God's love is good enough to lead us through. His love and his grace is good enough to grab us by the hand, and to pick us up and say, keep on going. Thanks be to God. Amen.